A.W. Tozer writes these words: "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." I don't know what your view of God might be, but what Tozer reminds us of is that as we view life not through our eyes, but through the eyes of God, we see life so much differently. I want to give you another quote, but before I do, I want to say this to you. Humans cannot rise any higher than our view of God. And my view of God doesn't change God at all. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if I really know who God is, and I understand who God is in me, then I'm going to see you and I'm going to see Him. I'm going to see everything about me differently. J.I. Packer put it this way: "The world becomes a strange, mad, painful place, and life in it a disappointing and unpleasant business for those who do not know about God." In other words, the human experience is not what God intended for it to be if I don't have Him in it. And he goes on to say, "Disregard the study of God, and you sentence yourself to stumble and blunder through life blindfolded, as it were, with no sense of direction and no understanding of what surrounds you. This way you can waste your life and you can lose your soul." The issue we have is that we sometimes do not have a great understanding of who God really is. No one's ever seen God. People have heard God speak to them, but no one has ever seen Him. We see the evidence of God. In other words, if we see the wind blow and we know that God created it, we see God in the wind. We see God in ourselves because we are created in His image. He reveals Himself to us. God chose to reveal Himself to us by sending Jesus Christ, His Son, to this earth, so that we might have a personal relationship with God. Because until Jesus came, there was no possibility of a personal relationship with God. And what God does is He calls and He invites. And the invitation is to anyone who is interested in knowing Him by experiencing His presence in their life. It's one thing to talk about God and to know some things about Him, but to experience His presence in my life, to have a personal relationship with God Almighty. We can't possibly cover this in one message. But what I want to do this morning is to lay some groundwork for the I Am series that we begin today. And this groundwork is vitally important. God chose a man called Abraham. And He told Abraham, "If you will accept this invitation, I am going to make you the father of a great nation." And God had one thing in mind. This is how I am going to bring salvation to mankind through you, Abraham. I'm going to bring my Son into the world through you so that people might be back with me in heaven. I'm sending a Savior. God has always worked through mankind. God chose another man. God's people, the Jews, ended up in Egypt in slavery. They've been in slavery for some 430 years, generation after generation after generation. I want to give you a thought to go with that. It's a biblical fact, but now there's a thought that goes with it. Mankind has been in slavery since sin entered into the world. Generation after generation after generation, we are sinners. As God sends Moses to be the Savior of the Jewish people, God sent Jesus to be the Savior of mankind. Once you start to get that and you think of it that way, it will matter to you more than it ever has. It is not just a biblical fact. It is God's plan. So God calls Moses. In Exodus, the third chapter, first of all, Moses is just living an ordinary life. He leaves his house one morning and he walks up on Mount Sinai. And what he's going up there for is to watch the sheep. He was a shepherd. He was there to tend to his father-in-law's sheep. And I'm sure he had been given sheep also. He'd been doing this for years. When he got up that morning, he never expected that he would be encountering God himself. Let that kind of sink into your mind and your heart. Moses had no thought that he would be confronted with God Almighty on that day. And in God's presence, Moses is going to find God's invitation to him. So God appears in a burning bush. First of all, we learn that an angel is in the burning bush, but the bush is burning, but it's not being consumed. I don't know about you, but if you throw a, have you ever thrown a dried out Christmas tree on a fire? You ever done that? Oh my goodness. I mean, it is consumed in a matter of seconds. There's no moisture in it. It's so dry, and it just is consumed by the fire. But Moses walks up, and here's this bush, and it's burning, and it's not being consumed. Now, that's pretty miraculous. Let me give you a lesson about miracles. A lot of people say that miracles are happening, and they ain't. If you get a parking place at Walmart, that is not a miracle. But if you see a burning bush and it's not being consumed, that's a miracle. Why? Because it defies every natural law on the face of the earth and in the universe. A miracle has to be something that defies logic and reality. That's a miracle. Jesus was dead in a tomb and then he was alive. That's a miracle. I hear people on the radio and TV and just in conversation talk about, oh, that was a miracle. No, it wasn't. That didn't defy the laws that God has set in place. So Moses comes up and he recognizes this is weird. It's burning and it's still there. And the angel of the Lord is in the bush first. And most commentators say that that angel in the bush was probably Jesus. That's debatable, but Jesus has always been just like God. So let me quickly move this. God has gotten Moses' attention with a burning bush that's not being consumed. But guess what? Pretty soon Moses gets God's attention. Listen, Moses gets God's attention. How does he do that? Moses says, I'm thinking to myself, I am going to walk up and see what this bush is all about. Moses steps for the bush. In other words, it impresses God that Moses is seeking to know what's going on. Because in verse 4 of chapter 3 of Exodus, when God saw him go over to look, what if Moses had turned around when he saw that and ran back to the tent, said, "I'm going back to bed. This is not going to be a good day." Would he have ever led the people out of Egypt? I don't know, but probably not. That's my speculation. He gets God's attention by going over, and here's what God says about that in verse 4. It's so interesting. Or verse 5. No, it's 4. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." Called his name twice. Now Moses has heard this voice. Not only has he heard the voice, but he responds. He says, "Here I am." And I know what Moses was thinking, but how do you know my name? How do you know me? And see, this is a big part of what this "I am" is all about. It is that God knows us. Whether we realize it or whether we acknowledge it or whether we respond to it, God knows all of us. Everybody. He knows everything about us. Here's the question. Is it possible to know God without seeking God? To really know Him. It impressed God that Moses sought to know Him more. I believe that most people find what they're looking for. And it's not always God. I believe what we're looking for, we will find. So the seeking has to have a God thing about it. Am I going to seek to be a better person of God? There's two facts about the Christian faith. God reveals himself to humanity, and humanity responds to God. And I would remind you, and you know it good and well, to respond in the negative to God is not to respond as a negative. Whether you verbally or mentally or spiritually make a decision, you make a decision. You respond one way or the other. That's just a cold, hard fact. And here's one for you, and I know many of you will understand what I'm about to say, but if you have not had your burning bush experience, you will. God will confront you about you. God will encounter you about you. Now, it may not be a miracle. It may not be a burning bush or any other kind of miracle, but God will encounter you because God is all about getting you to understand who He is. His revelation to mankind was for our sake. And by the way, when you see a miracle, there's always a message. Everybody wants a miracle. Everybody wants to base what they believe on a miracle. I've had people tell me through the years in ministry, "Well, when I see God perform a miracle, I believe in Him." I say, "Well, you will never believe in Him." Because God's not about the miracle. He uses a miracle to get our attention. God's about the message that goes with the miracle. The burning bush was to get Moses' attention, and it's a miracle. But now the word is about to be given, because here's the thing, and listen to this. Nothing happens until the word is received. Nothing happens until the word is received. The word is that important. And when you are confronted in your burning bush moment, my prayer is that you say the same thing Moses did. "Here I am. I'm listening." Because you see, the word has not been given to him yet. He is responding to a miracle and God calling his name. He's not responding to the message that God has for him because he wouldn't have responded that way. I have a computer, a laptop, and it's got face recognition on it. In other words, I don't have a pen. When I open my computer and turn it on, there's a camera that's looking at me. Joyce and I, my wife, had a discussion about that this week. She said, "What if you die? How am I going to get in your computer?" You need to get a pen to go with that face thing. I said, "Yes, interesting too. You know, when I get in front of it, if the light's a certain way, and I really play with this thing a lot, I put my stocking cap on and look at it. Where are you? Where are you? It searches, and it won't open. I pull my stocking cap off, hit it again. Hello, Webster. Every time. Here's the thing about that laptop that I make an application, and it's this. I turn it on, and I know the camera's right up at the top of the screen. And all of a sudden, two red flashing lights come on each side. And these words come up, "Get ready. Get ready, I'm about to look you in the face and decide whether you are who you say you are." If I had to look at this year and encourage you to do one thing, it would be for you to get ready. Because in a moment, God is going to come to you and you are going to have to respond. He's going to give you a mission. He's going to give you a message. And you must respond. If you don't respond, you did respond. If you say it's not about me and I can't do this, then you've responded in the negative. God tells Moses, "I've heard the cry of my people. They've been in bondage. Now, Moses, I want you to go. I'm sending you to rescue them." Say what? See, now. He's pretty cool with the bush. Now, the message. "Yes, I want you to go back to Egypt and get my children out of there. I want you to be the savior of my nation that's going to be the bloodline to bring my son into the world." And it's so interesting. Moses in verse 11 says, "Well, who am I to do this?" You ever done that with God? You know He's calling you to do something and you sort of bargain, "God, I'm not the one to do this. Call somebody else. Here, I'll give you their number. Who am I to do this?" You know what? That's a wrong question. The question is, who is God? And when you find yourself confronted with this old cruel world, what is the first thing you want to do? You want to say, "Who am I?" Or do you want to say, "Who is God?" My encouragement with you would be to say, always start with God. Start with God and move in the direction He leads you. And then Moses says this, "God, if they ask me who sent me, what should I tell them?" In other words, "God, what is your name? I don't know your name." And here it is. "I am who I am." Oh, okay, that's pretty cool, God, but what does that mean? I am. I always have been and I always will be. I am. End of the discussion. You tell Pharaoh and you tell my people that I am who I am sent you. By the way, Ryan, God is worthy of His name. That song is one of my favorites. Jesus is worthy of His name. To know God who is with us gives us the ability to do His will. And the reason many times we don't do His will is we have no idea who He is. Oh, we believe in Him and we say we love Him and we believe in Jesus and we say we love Him. And we go through the motions of Christianity and religiosity and we think, okay, God and I, we're tight. We're just like this. That may not be the case, folks. It's not just going through motions. It is a deep-seated presence of God in your life directing everything that we think, say, and do. And unless that's happening, we really don't know why God is in us. If, and don't take this wrong or take it any way you want to, if you think that Jesus was put on a cross and died for your sins and then raised from the dead so that you can go to heaven, and that's all you believe about Him, because all you really want to do is at the end of this life, you want to be in a great place, because this place has not always been great. You missed it. You missed it. So in John 14:9, Jesus says, "Anyone who has seen Me has seen the Father." See, there's no way you can be faithful to a God who has given you a son and said the only way you can know Me is to come through Him. Jesus was not just a historical figure. Jesus is the gate. He's the way. He's the door. You can't make any kind of spiritual decision toward God without going through Jesus. He is, by the way, the great I Am. Moses was in the presence of God Himself. God said, "Moses, this is so cool, but let me say this before I get ahead of myself. God is. There is not a time, there is not any time at all where God does not exist. He exists. God is independent, He is eternal, and He is unchanging. In other words, I am always who I am. And you can count on it." I don't know about you, can you count on a lot of stuff in this world? People let you down? Sure they have. Jobs let you down, you thought that was it, and it turned out not to be. Yeah, it'll let you down. Your children let you down, absolutely break your heart. Stomp on it and then try to give it back to you. Absolutely. But God is always constant. He is I Am. He is there always. That's what this series is about. It's about the presence of God being with us all the time. One of our issues is that we want to be independent of God, and God desires for us to be dependent upon Him. Let me ask you something. How often do you declare your dependence by taking care of self more than you do God? Have you declared your dependence upon people more than you have God? Maybe your possessions is what you depend upon more than you do God. See, God wants us to be dependent upon Him. Jesus was talking and being confronted with the religious leaders of His day, and he ends up saying this to them: "You are from below. I am from above." You are of this world. I am not from this world. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. Wow. You know, Jesus didn't mess around when He preached. He told it like it was. He says, whatever I've told you about myself is true. He says, I came from heaven down to earth. You started on earth. The only way you can get to heaven is to go through me. And if you deny who I claim to be, the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the Son of God Himself, the great I Am, if you don't claim that, you will die in your sins. He makes it really clear. This series is about introducing you to the Son of God, Jesus Christ, as your Savior, yes, but also as your provider, as the great I Am, the one that's in that can be present in your life all the time. When you're baptized into Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you according to the Word of God. That means God is present with you always. The great I Am lives in you. So keep telling me that that is not important. Keep telling me, well, all I got to do is believe in God. God has never said that. Because obedience has to be there. If God told me to paint both of my big toes purple and I'll go to heaven, guess what Webby's going to do? I'm going to get a pedicure. And instead of getting clear, I'm going to get purple. Now, why would I do that? Because God commanded it. Case closed. If you're in darkness, Jesus says, I'm the light. If you're spiritually hungry, He says, I am the bread of life. We're going to look in all of this in the next few weeks. If you feel defenseless this morning, and some of us do most of the time, what does He say? I am the good shepherd. I'll protect you. So how do we respond this morning? God told Moses, Moses, don't come any closer. And by the way, take off your sandals. You see, we have to come to God in humility. Taking off your shoes to someone meant that you were their servant. You were there to live for them, to help them, to do what their bidding is. See, Jesus came to save us, but He came to redefine us. And when I'm redefined, I have to take my sandals off. Because I have to admit before God, it's not about me, Lord, it's about You. Because You've called me to reach other people that You want to be with You. Question is, have you done that today? Have you removed your sandals in front of God? Did you leave your home this morning expecting that you were going to hear from God? Will you leave your home in the morning expecting that you're going to hear something? You're going to have that burning bush moment before God. Many of you know the story of Stephen Curtis Chapman, the singer, the Christian singer and artist. They were having a big get-together at his house, and his teenage son backed out of the driveway to go somewhere and backed over his little sister and killed her. The party went from a party to a funeral. Guess what? Everybody came to the funeral barefoot. They came to the funeral barefoot. Why would they do that? Because they expected that God was going to be their comfort. That He was going to act in the situation for His good. It was tragic, but yes, it was something to look at and think about in respect of who God really is. God may appear unexpectedly. Well, it could happen in a worship service. It could happen at the mall or sporting event. Most of you know where I will be tomorrow evening. The Georgia Bulldogs are playing for the national championship. Don't call me tomorrow evening. I mean, if you're not dying or something and you really got to have me, you know, call Frank. He needs a diversion. I say that, but you know what? Wouldn't it be fantastic if in the middle of that 100-something thousand people that will be in the Mercedes-Benz dome tomorrow night, what if 50,000 of them had a burning bush experience and came to the Lord? National championship wouldn't matter anymore. Not that it matters anyway. It can happen anywhere, folks. Because God is not limited. God makes Himself known for the purpose of redemption. That's why He came in Jesus. I love that scripture that Chris read at the table a few minutes ago. Because it's so powerful. And he read the third verse, but here's how it starts. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, burning bushes. But in these days, we're in them. He's talking about us. He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom He made the universe. Jesus is the great I Am. He has always been. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. What is Jesus' name? I Am. I Am. Because He is the exact representation of God. Hear what I'm saying. You, everybody in this room, every one of you can live without God's blessing. That is a fact. But you will not live without His judgment. He is a just God, and He requires that His own Son's blood be shed for our salvation. And until we get that and understand that God, yes, He loves us immensely, and He wants every one of us in heaven, He is a just God, and He will judge each one of us. Oh, yeah, for the things done in the body. Not just those spiritual thoughts I have every now and then. It's what I do in here. What I do with this that I have. So 2018, it can be a record year for the Lord. For the Lord, not for us, but for the Lord. It could be a record year. Because I Am is counting on us to do our part. Whether you are, if you're here and you're unsaved, the great I Am says, I need you, I want you. If you're here and saved, He's going to give you an opportunity to serve Him in 2018. To love other people to Jesus. That's what He's going to do. In 2 Corinthians 3, go home and read it this afternoon. And you will find Paul says, we are a letter written to those that don't know Jesus. We're like a handwritten letter to people who don't know Jesus. Everything we do, everything we say in our bodies as we live every day, we are a letter. And that letter is either one that I love to sit down and read over and over again because it's such a good letter, or my letter looks like it's not from God. It's from somewhere else. So today, right now, could be your burning bush moment. You may encounter God right here in His room. He has revealed Himself. You and I must respond.